Well, if you're taking notes, the first point on our outline is humans have always seen that friendship is important. So humans have always seen that friendship is important, even before the breakdown of the family, even when society was supposedly less individualistic. Humans have always seen that friendship is precious, that finding a true friend can be hard work. People of all ages want friends. You know, you want a friend for your child as they begin school. You want a friend for your parent or your grandparent as they enter a nursing home. My family and friends wanted it for me as I moved to England. There's no guarantee of friendship, and we're nervous it won't happen for those that we love, and maybe we're nervous it won't happen for ourselves. Friendship is precious, and writings show that this has been true throughout the ages and in different cultures. In thinking about this topic, one of the things I did was read through pages and pages of quotes on friendship from across the globe over the last 2,500 years. And what became clear to me as I read was that most were all pretty much focused on self. What can I get out of my friend? Now, how can they serve me? My friends need to be like me. And that is really the traditional view of friendship, isn't it? That's the view that pervades our culture in Britain in 2008. That for someone to be our friend, they need to be like us. They need to like what I like. We need to enjoy spending time with them. You know, we all have different personalities, and so we will connect with some people more easily than others, and that's okay, and we leave it at that. I have some friends, and someone with a different personality, different background, different stage of life, has different friends, and it all works out. My friends are like me. There were very few quotes that didn't have this traditional view of friendship. When we turn to God's word in the Bible, we see once again that friendship is really important. But how does the traditional view of friendship square with, you know, God's view? Is it the same? What does God have to say about friendship? Now, to properly understand friendship, we first and foremost have to look at God and who He is. So our second point, if you're taking notes, is that friendship is important to God. When we look at God, we're taught and reminded of why there is actually friendship in the first place. So God is three persons in one, you know, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The very essence and being of God is relational. The three persons of the Godhead are in perfect relationship with one another. So in that sense, they're perfect friends. If God was not Trinitarian, He would not know relationship within Himself, and so wouldn't have created us to be in relationship with Him, nor created us to be in relationship with one another. So in other words, if our God wasn't a Trinitarian God, we wouldn't know relationships. So many people talk today about, you know, coming to understand yourself, and some advocate, you know, going and finding yourself by doing certain activities. Yet since God is a relational God and we're created in His image, we will only find ourselves by being in relationship with Him and being in relationships with others. Like, that's ultimate reality. Yet with Genesis 3, like, man and woman's relationship with God and with each other fell apart, didn't it? Humanity was no longer friends with God. However, God in His mercy and grace initiated to be friends with man and woman again. And we see this time and time again throughout the Old Testament. God keeps initiating relationship with His people, Israel. He provides for them, He sustains them, He keeps them safe, He delivers them, and in His mercy and His love, He disciplines them so that they might turn back to Him. The Old Testament gives us a really mixed picture, doesn't it? Gives us a really mixed picture of Israel corporately and of individuals within Israel and how they experience both joy and pain in their relationship with God. But no matter how good that relationship gets, the relationship keeps failing, it keeps breaking down. Israel's sin is a problem that keeps God, who is holy, at a distance from them. So sinful humanity can't be in the presence of a holy God. They can't really be, you know, good friends in that sense. Sin is a problem that gets in the way of their relationship. With Jesus' death and resurrection, we see that sin is finally conquered, and God pours out His Holy Spirit on His people. So now it's possible to be friends with God, to have God dwelling in us. And this was only possible through Jesus' death. And we get so used to saying, don't we, you know, Jesus' death and resurrection, that it can just roll off the tongue. But that is what it cost God for us to be friends with him. The second person of the Godhead became human, suffered and died so we can be friends with God. So it was God the Father's plan to send his Son to die for us so we would be friends with him. And God the Son was obedient to his Father's friendship plan. Because Jesus was the human that was obedient to God, we are to model our lives on him to a degree. We're told to model our lives on many people, maybe our parents, our boss, famous people, Christian leaders, and there's some truth in much of that. We learn wisdom from others. But the model we're ought to follow is Jesus, because he was the complete human. He was complete because he was fully obedient to God. He was always friends with God. He glorified God in his life, and that's to be our purpose also. You and I were created to glorify God, to be obedient to him. That's our purpose in life. And so as we think about friendship, what does Jesus say about it? How does looking at Jesus' life help us consider how we can glorify God in our friendships? Which takes us to our third and final point. God is concerned that we glorify him in our friendships. Now, there's much that we could say under this point. We could talk the whole weekend about this point, but because of time, we're just going to touch on a couple of things. When we look at the life of Jesus, we see that he recognises that there's differences in our human relationships. So some think, for example, that Jesus was closer to some of the disciples than to all 12 equally. Or Jesus sees that Christians will have more in common with those who are not Christian. And Jesus and the writers of the New Testament were concerned that we relate appropriately and differently, you know, depending on the relationships. So not all relationships are the same. You know, factors that are important to consider are the age of someone, whether they're the same sex as us, the positions they hold in our family or in society, whether they have government, whether they govern over us. God is concerned we relate properly in the different relationships he's given us, that we glorify him in them. But what about friendships? Well, Jesus seems to be much more concerned with talking about us loving people than whether we click with people or not. You know, this traditional view of friendship, you know, clicking with people, being like them. He doesn't seem to be that concerned with whether people are like us. He spoke to the Samaritan woman who was in every way different to him. You know, he commissioned Paul to be the apostle to the Gentiles, and Paul saw the Gentiles very differently to himself. Jesus redefined who our neighbour was to include our enemies and commanded us to love our neighbour. Jesus was the Good Samaritan who loved his enemies. And in his relationships, he sought to serve rather than to be served. Jesus was the friend of sinners. It wasn't comfortable or easy in that sense for God to become human and suffer and die for us, but he did it for us since our friendship with him was so important to him. He did it because he loved us and wanted what was best for us. Now, I think, of course, we're going to have friends who we will connect with better than other people, and I think that's fine and normal to a degree and is part of God's general grace to us. So, you know, you have a couple of people you trust rather than bearing, you know, your soul to everyone at church. Or there are a certain people at the bar who, you know, love watching Top Gun with, you know, like-minded friends, you know, like with Clayton and that. Well, others at the bar prefer not to. But I think we need to be careful, as we can think primarily in terms of who's my friend? Do I have enough friends? You know, who's my soulmate? Rather than primarily thinking, who can I show love to and in what ways can I love them? When we look at God's word, God is telling us as his people to work out how we can love one another rather than searching for a friend that, you know, that we can chat to about, you know, our latest crush or, you know, what movie we want to watch and things like that. Love was a priority for Jesus, and so love needs to be our priority also. I think if we are more concerned with loving people than being concerned to be in our little cliques, then it is more likely that our friendships will take care of themselves. And yes, it is really hard to love people at times, but I think it does become easier when we firstly actually choose to do it, and when we actually make a mental decision to choose to love someone, and secondly, pray for that person, and thirdly, think about, like concretely and specifically, think about how I can actually help that person grow in their relationship with God, how I can help that person be more godly. And scripture is encouraging in that. Scripture tells us that we've been given all we need to love someone. God doesn't give us a command and then not give us the resources to be obedient to it. No, he's given us everything to be godly, to help us love people. Now, just on this loving other people, I'm not saying there's no such thing as boundaries. I think there's a right place for them since we're fallen creatures. But as sinful humans, often our first inclination is not to consider how we can love someone, and yet it needs to be. By loving others, we'll grow in our relationship with God. And it's what we want to do, isn't it? We want to grow in our relationship with God and our appreciation of what Jesus did on the cross. And hopefully also those we love will grow in their love for God and or come to love God for the first time. All of us find friendships difficult at times. We do so because we're sinful, because we're weak, because we don't know everything, you know, we're limited in our knowledge. And all these things make friendships tricky at times. So because of the general fall and also because of specific sins that we and others do, we all have, you know, baggage to a degree that we're carrying which affect our relationships with one another. So for example, some of us find it hard to trust, you know, to open up. And some of us open up, you know, too much. Some of us find making friends easy, but others of us don't really feel at all, you know, ease in relating to one another. A member of my family said recently that if he was born today, he thinks he would probably be diagnosed with a form of autism. He's always found it difficult to relate. He doesn't enjoy social situations, yet he craves intimacy. He wants relationships. So he's hyper-intelligent and, you know, aware enough to realise he has weaknesses in the area of relating. And if I had to diagnose it, I would most likely say he's suffering from Asperger's syndrome. But whatever it might be, you know, that autism spectrum is wide, and some of us are on that spectrum. And it's wonderful that there's becoming more awareness today about such conditions that make it difficult for people to have friendships. Now I can get angry, I can get annoyed, I can get hurt by how my relative relates to me at times, and it's easy to do that if I keep on thinking about, you know, Jane first and foremost, rather than choosing to love him. Choosing to love him makes me slow down and realise that there are some things that most likely will never change about the way he relates, and, you know, ultimately that's really sad for him and difficult for him at times. But I can choose to relate differently. Like, I'm responsible for my godliness, and I can make life easier for him by loving him and being friends with him. Now, being friends with him is not as easy as being friends with some other people at times. That's the reality of living in a fallen world, you know, this side of heaven. Yet God loved me when I was completely unlovable and really, really difficult. And he has commanded me to love people that I find are unlovable and difficult. I've used the example of Asperger's today because it doesn't normally ever get mentioned, I think, in Christian circles. But there are other conditions, aren't there, and situations that make it really difficult for people to have friendships, but we are still to be friends with them. And some of us maybe just need to be a bit more chilled out and not so freaked out by some people. Like, in the big scheme of things, it doesn't really matter, does it, if someone's a bit socially awkward? Like, what really matters is their relationship with God and how that's going. Like, I think some of us just need to be a bit more gracious and not so concerned about our awkwardness. And for us that do suffer from such conditions, or, you know, whether it be things like excessive shyness, whatever it might be, we also need to keep making the effort to be friends with others, to show them love. And God knows our weaknesses and whether we're trying to be godly or not in our friendships. and he doesn't expect more of us than is impossible for us. Another thing that can make friendships difficult at times is emotional dependency, which you may or may not have heard of before. And we're not going to talk about that now, but we're going to talk about that at Growth Groups, the very last evening of Growth Groups in Module 9.3, when we talk about homosexuality, because emotional dependency is related or can be related to lesbianism. So we're going to talk about that evening. Because our purpose in life is to glorify God rather than ourselves, then we're to live with Jesus as Lord and take up our cross daily and follow him. Now, that's really difficult, isn't it, at times? There will often be a conflict between, you know, my comfort level and Christ's demands on my life. But taking up our cross means that whatever the cost, we will follow Jesus. And I think that cross imagery is really helpful in teaching and reminding us that living as a Christian will be really difficult at times. So in the area of friendships, taking up our cross and following Jesus might have meant for you, or it might mean for you in the future, that, you know, you've stopped a certain friendship that was really precious to you, since glorifying God is more precious. It's the more governing, you know, it's the governing factor in that sense. It's your main concern. And your friendship with a certain person was causing you to just keep sinning. You know, you found it really hard to say no to temptation when you're in that friendship. Or it might have meant that the friendship with that person has just had to significantly change. Or it may mean that you've realised, actually, I actually need to be Christian in this friendship rather than just be another human being in this relationship. Our God is a jealous God, and he demands us to be friends with him first and foremost above all others. So if any friendship we have is compromising our friendship with him, then that relationship, that friendship needs to change. How our friends can affect us for good or bad, and how we can affect our friends for good or bad, was a theme that was touched on recently in the Proverbs series that Marcus preached. So you might want to reread Proverbs this week. Well, in conclusion, because God is a relational God, and, you know, not this, you know, impersonal force, we have the gift of friendship with him and therefore with each other. God's priority for our life is for us to glorify him in our friendships. Therefore, let us choose to love one another. That's how we can glorify one another in our friendships, choosing to love one another as Christ has loved us. And let our friendships be distinctively Christian rather than just relating to one another. They need to be distinctively Christian. And let us pray, like individually and I think corporately as a Barge church, that in God's mercy, he will use each one of us to let us make friends for him. Amen.
Thank you very much, Jane. Extremely helpful. We've got a few minutes now just for questions or comments. See if anyone's got anything they want to say on this whole topic. Anyone over the age of 18 months? Questions for Jane on this?
Growth situation in a situation like that, where sometimes you can show love to somebody repeatedly and then not receive anything back, And every time is almost like the first time you met them, almost, sometimes to some people. And how can that grow and develop into something when you just kind of, you know, you keep at it, it doesn't seem to grow itself? What do you do?
Jane, do you want to come up here?
Yeah, I think coming back to the fact that I think God in His grace has given us, I guess, maybe a wide spectrum of friends. And so there'll be some that, you know, in one sense is easier work for us. And the danger there is that we can become complacent in those friendships, and they're not actually distinctively Christian at all. We can just chat and get on, and they're easy. And often the ones that are hard work for us, they often do tend to us, get us to rely more on God, don't we? So often we can, in a sense, be more Christian in those friendships. But I think maybe if we keep on trying to think more in terms of how can I choose to love them, rather than think, you know, this person's not a friend of mine, they're not giving me what I want, I think that can make it easier. But I do think if all your relationships are that sort of a situation, I think that does make it really hard. But I don't think any of us should be in that situation, given that God has given us a large church, and I mean small church in some senses, but you know, we've got so many people here. So yeah, and I think, you know, we do need, I think it's good and right to have time out, otherwise, you know, it could burn out from and not ever want to see that person ever again. So there's time when we do need time out. I don't think that's a wrong thing. Yeah,
I think if everybody stuck to what you're saying, you would just have that natural growth. If we all did it,
yeah, but yeah, the reality is the norm is suffering, isn't it? The norm is we're living in a fallen world, and some people are really limited in how they're able to relate. So some people are not able to relate this side of heaven that way, for lots of different reasons. Their health, their mental health, their emotional well-being, whatever it might be. So. And all those things should, you know, be a big wake-up call to us that all is not right, and that, you know, God, everything will be right in heaven, and make us depend more on God. But also when we do feel frustrated and, you know, angry and hurt in relationships, coming back to, well, God loved me when I was really ugly and really awkward and really difficult. Like, I'm finding this person a pain in the neck. I mean, I was, you know, I'm number one pain in the neck. From, you know, God's point of view, in terms of what He had to do to be friends with me. It's really hard, but that's actually reality, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's important to think of ourselves holistically as well. So if we've just spent 2 hours with a friend that, you know, you might find really exhausting, and you might feel really hurt at the end of it for whatever reason, to realise that, okay, well, what's going to help me now more, in a sense, be able to cope with getting on with the rest of my life, like relating to my husband and kids and doing else, you know, what else I need to do. And it might be for some people that it's a good thing then to be able to go for a walk or a jog, you know, whatever it might be, to be able to cope with life, because that's what you do, isn't it? Like, coping with life, like, you don't ever do no exercise, you don't not eat properly and everything. To cope with ourselves or cope with life, we try and eat properly, we exercise, we read God's word, we pray to Him. So just like trying to keep relationships going, we treat the rest of our body well, in a sense, to be able to cope with that. Try and sleep properly. I think it's really similar. I think, in one sense, there's not that, when we look at God's word, I think in one sense there's not that much difference in the sense that we're still called to love them. When they are a fellow Christian, we should have a higher expectation of that friendship, in a sense, in terms of they should be godly towards us. Whereas someone that's not a Christian yet, they don't have the Holy Spirit, and so we shouldn't have as much expectation from them. But yeah. But we shouldn't see that friendship as a project or as that person as a target. We shouldn't see it as, you know, this really functional view of relationships in that sense. We should have a relational view of relationships and see whoever that person is, whether they're not a Christian, whether they're 5 years old, whether they're 100 years old, that we can always be learning from them. Yeah.
So. Okay, one final one. Oh, we'll take Ruth and then Paul.
And Katie had a hand up as well. Well, that's the thing. I think when we come back to the Bible, I think that we keep wanting to think in terms of friendships, you know, who's like me? Whereas when we come to God's Word, He's talking more, I think, in terms of relationships, and we're called to love everyone. So in that sense, we're called to be friends to everyone. But on that whole, you know, spectrum of friendship, there's differences, isn't there? But I guess what I was trying to do, just in a brief amount of time, was for us to kind of not think so much in terms of who do I click with and who are my friends and who can I relate to, but rather who can I choose to love? Because that seems to be the overriding agenda of the Bible, what God has done all through time and history, and we clearly see that with Jesus. I could. I don't know if I could do that in a short amount of time. But again, the principle is the same in terms of, our purpose in life is to glorify God. So every relationship I'm in, I need to be glorifying God in that relationship. So if I'm wanting a deep relationship with someone, I need to be making sure that everything I'm doing in that relationship is going to be glorifying to God. And I'm wanting to do all that I can to hopefully, in a sense, putting this quite coarsely, like progress that person's relationship with God. So that's not specific details, but that's really important principles and foundations for any relationship. So that's true for a deep, close relationship. And, it's true for, you know, a friendship that, you know, you don't see as often or whatever. But in terms of something that is going to actually get a friendship deeper and deeper, it is actually going to be godly in that friendship. Like if we're kidding ourselves as Christians if we think that we're going to have deep friendships with people and those friendships aren't distinctively Christian. You know, we think we've got great friendships with people because we like the same movies or we like the same sport, we play touch footy with them or whatever it might be. But if we're never actually sharing God's word with each other, if we're never praying, you know, if we're never actually sharing God with them, who is supposed to be the most important person in our life, then what sort of friendship have we got? I think Satan's really deceived us then about what level of friendship we do have. So making sure that our friendship is God-centered, like in that sense, I think helps deepen our friendships. There's a whole other things I could say in terms on, but that's a whole other topic, I think, in terms of how to deepen friendships. And maybe time for another slot, but this was kind of more a step back from that, Paul, so sorry. But yeah.
Last one from Katie.
I was just going to say that on that, on those lines, maybe in addition to what James has said, maybe if we are able to be open with each other, and I think what Christopher Ash was saying yesterday about it being that broken jigsaw puzzle, that we're, you know, broken world being put back together by God and in Christ. Like, if we kind of realize that we're all broken and share in our brokenness, that we're all broken and in different ways, and everyone has their issues, and you're not alone.
Yeah.
And that you make that known to your friends, that and to people you're sharing with, that you're able to be broken in front of them, then they might be able to feel like it's okay that I'm not totally sorted and I can be myself in front of you. And I think that brings a certain, especially in Christ, when you can share about, you know, I'm struggling with this sin, or I'm struggling, you know, to believe in Jesus today, then they can say, well, I'm too, that's okay, and
yeah.
pray. And it does help, I think, if we're more vulnerable.
Yeah, because you're bringing honesty in the relationship, aren't you? And therefore, trust is needed from the other person. And you're bringing Christ into the relationship as well. That, yeah, needs to be Christ, yeah.
Great, let's draw stumps there. Do keep chatting over these things over our free time now. So we've got free time until 11:30, I think. Is that right for the programme? Yeah, 11:30, we're back in here. If you haven't cleared your room yet, please do that ASAP. And if you find your room card doesn't work anymore, if you didn't sort your stuff before 10, I guess you just need to go to reception and tell them about that. So back here at 11:30.
Marcus, how do I stop this?
Oh, I don't know.